5 years ago today, the Cubs won the World Series. I guess it'd be 5 years ago tonight. Dave Ennett's back in our studio. Hi, Mr. Sports Director.
Hello there.
Kevin Powell covered that for us on WGN Radio. Hey, Kev.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Did you guys see that coming? I forgot. That's 5 years ago today. I mean, I know we won it in 2016, but I just didn't see it coming up on my calendar. And then Bert Constable wrote a really nice piece in the Daily Herald about this. He told you where the players are now, which is kind of funny, tragic, and sad, and terrific if you're somebody like, Rizzo and Bryant, or for that matter, Schwarber. I mean, some of them, you know, are in a better place right now. But it was 5 years ago. Game 7 would go down as the greatest game in World Series history. And here's the wiki on this. You guys, I'll read you a little bit about it. You comment as you feel necessary, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Dexter Fowler leads off the game with a home run. First player ever to hit a leadoff home run in a World Series Game 7. Boy, sets the stage already as one of the classic games, right? When that happens, Kev, do you think we got this? We got this?
I felt good about the Cubs after that. But you think about how important Dexter Fowler was to that team. You know, Joe Maddon, you know, sort of made it a thing all season where he said, you know, you go, we go. And that was when Dexter Fowler was getting things going. It seemed that everybody followed. And he was so important to that team. And when he started it off, I mean, it was, you know, it was at Progressive Field. The sound, the place erupted when he hit that. I felt pretty good about the Cubs' chances after that. I know it was first inning, but I felt good about it after he hit that.
Leadoff home run. Indians tied the game in the bottom of the third with an RBI single by Carlos Santana. The Cubs scored 2 runs in the fourth with a sacrifice fly by Addison Russell. Chris Bryant running aggressively to tag up from third on a short fly ball. He slid under the tag at home. There was a double by Wilson Contreras to start the fifth inning. Javi Baez hits a home run. It's 4-1. Andrew Miller comes on in relief, gives up a walk to Bryant. RBI single to Rizzo. Boy, they were just clicking. We're up 5-1 in the fifth.
So I'm sitting next to Mark Carmen in the... wasn't the press box. They do an auxiliary press box for these big games where they convert like suites or certain parts of the ballpark into more media seating. And Mark Carmen and I were sitting in it, and I was by the right field foul pole, kind of in the corner there. The Cubs went up 5-1, and I almost just wanted to see what Carmen would say. And I looked to him and I go, "Oh, this game's over. The Cubs got it." And he gave me this look like, "Kev, what are you talking about? We got a long way to go." That's basically what he said. He's like, "Shut up, Kevin. There's a lot of baseball left." But I just wanted to see what he would say. Yeah, he wasn't happy when I said that.
Well, I don't think Dave Ennett believes in jinxes either, but it ain't over till it's over.
Yeah, I don't, but just the way, and even the way that series had gone, you know, you just had the feeling that something, it wasn't going to be easy.
Okay, so this is as good as it got for the Cubs, the outcome notwithstanding. Where they're up 5-1. It's the fifth inning. Our pitcher is pitching really well, and then Joe Maddon decides to do himself some managing. Well, 312-981-7200 to call or text in. This is WGN. John Williams here. We might share your comments or even your voice as we just take a little trip down memory lane today. What a nice little diversion. Bert Constable's piece in the Daily Herald recollected what it was like for him and his mom when the Cubs won the World Series Game 7 5 years ago this evening. And then he catches us up with what's happened to the players on that team since. I'll get to that in a minute. Kevin Powell covered it for WGN Radio, so he was there in Cleveland and is on the phone now. Oh, I got to read that first. Thanks, Aleph. And Dave Ennett, our sports director, of course, was following it too. So let's pick it up in the sixth inning after I read this. In real estate news, the days of getting inflated offers on your home due to a shortage of inventory may be coming to an end. More homes are on the market. The volume is leveled out. So who markets your home and how they market your home is now more critical than ever. Person to do that is Amy Kite of Keller Williams Realty Infinity. No other agent in Chicagoland markets as intelligently, as precisely, as cleverly, I'll even say as aggressively as Amy Kite. Results don't lie. For years, Amy is guaranteed to sell your home on a deadline at a price you agree to, or she'll buy it from you. She still has more certified 5-star reviews on Google than any other agent. You'll be a 5-star review too when you go with Amy Kite and her team. For the best results ever, visit AmyWillSellYourHome.com. Selling the city, the neighborhoods, the surrounding suburbs. Amy will sell your home. Mark.com. 10:18. Okay, guys, so here we are now in the bottom of the fifth inning of Game 7 of the 2016 World Series. Hendricks retires the first two batters, and then he walks with those two outs, Santana, and Joe Maddon relieves his starter, says Wikipedia. This move, along with others throughout the series, would be highly criticized afterwards, as it appeared to some that Hendricks was pulled out too soon. Was everybody screaming at their TV sets that night? Were you screaming at your TV set that night?
Well, you kind of. I mean, it just didn't feel like a great time to make that move. But again...
Oh, I was screaming at my set. Kevin, you were screaming at your set.
Hold on, Kevin. There you are.
I didn't exactly have a long leash with Kyle Hendricks. He was the young pitcher in that, you know, on that staff, which had guys like Jake Arrieta and Lester and Lackey, where it was pretty clear from what I remember, Joe Maddon obviously having a lot more faith in those guys being the veterans and whatnot. It always felt that postseason that whole season that Joe Maddon wasn't willing enough to let Kyle Hendricks stick it out. That's how I kind of remember it, and I remember fans just kind of being frustrated with that. Like, Kyle Hendricks was very good. Forget the fact that he's the youngest pitcher on that starting staff. It was like, you know, let's stick with them here. Yeah, I remember a lot of frustrated Cub fans when that move was made.
Well, it wasn't the only pitching decision that he made. We'll get to the end of the game here in just a minute. Dave, you're being surprisingly kind to Joe Maddon. Not that there's any reason to kick him around, but wasn't everybody frustrated with his overmanaging?
That's what managers do, especially in those kind of games. I think it was more... later when he really went to his bullpen by trade as opposed to bringing John Lester in relief. And Lester, remember, had already pitched in a couple of games in the series.
I'll pick it up there. John Lester had started games 1 and 5, so he comes on in relief. David Ross commits a throwing error that allows Jason Kipnis to reach base and put runners on second and third. Then a wild pitch ricochets off Ross's helmet, and it allows Santana and Kipnis to score. And you're like, this cannot be happening. Now it's a 5-3 lead. To atone for his blunder, the 39-year-old Ross hits a home run to center in his last official bat of his career in the top of the sixth. So it's 6-3 now. So, Kevin, you're still feeling good about our chances, right?
It felt a lot better after Ross hit that because it felt like, all right, you know, to your point, like this is the momentum that Cleveland's building here. There's still a lot of baseball. And then it's like, wow, David Ross. You know, smacks one to deep center for the home run. I also, by the way, always thought it was kind of funny how he was Grandpa Rossi.
Yeah.
He's only 39 years old during that season, and there were guys who were just a few years younger than him. But that was kind of the theme with him, and, you know, they rallied around that. But, yeah, when that home run, you know, proved to be huge, obviously. I know we'll get to later in the game, but, you know, without that, who knows how this game goes.
Oldest guy to ever hit a home run in the World Series, I think he still has that distinction.
Mm-hmm.
So Lester retires the first two batters in the eighth. Then he gets pulled after a Jose Ramirez single. Maddon opts to use Aroldis Chapman, who has thrown 42 pitches in Game 5. He's already pitched in Game 6, despite the fact that the Cubs had already built a large lead. Brandon Guyer promptly hits a run-scoring double off of Chapman. Now it's 6-4. Boy, nobody's enjoying this at home. You're just on pins and needles.
No.
The next batter's the Indian center fielder who had hit 55 career home runs over 11 seasons. He's hitting 132 in the postseason. He hits a two-run homer off of Chapman, and now it's tied.
Yeah. I can't really describe the sound of the ballpark after that was hit. I mean, it was I couldn't believe it. Rajai Davis, of all people, off of Chapman. I know Maddon was criticized for that as well with, you know, going with Chapman. But, I mean, I was fine with it. I know he had pitched a lot, and the Indians had seed quite a bit of him. But I don't think they win that World Series without Chapman. I mean, you think about how dominant he was that whole season, especially after they acquired him. And Joe Maddon said he defended it after. He's like, look, that was always the plan, was to stick with Chapman. And it's tough not to go with Chapman, right? He was throwing
102.
You know, now Yeah. Now we see that, you know, a lot more often. But even just 5 years ago, you didn't see that very often. Yeah. I mean, he was hitting 100 miles per hour on just about every pitch. So I know he was criticized for that. And I do remember after the game, people still being so frustrated with Joe Maddon. I'm like, hey, they won the World Series.
What are you thinking, Dave?
Well, I mean, people forget that Chapman's state came back out and pitched the ninth.
Right.
And he pitched a 1-2-3 ninth.
Right.
Despite giving up the runs and the home run to Davis.
Well, so, talk about having the courage of your convictions if you're mad and you throw him back out there. And it works out, and then the rain comes.
And then the rain.
17 minutes.
So when the rain started, I remember my reaction to the tarp coming out, at least my initial reaction. I was like, they're really going to call a rain delay for this? Because I don't remember it being all that heavy, especially in the beginning. It was sort of this light mist that came down, and then got the sense they were going to call a delay, and I was surprised they did it. But, you know, I guess it's, you know, game seven, ninth inning, all that. You don't want to mess around with a slick field and all that. But I just remember feeling, wow, this is huge for the Cubs, even before, you know, even after when we found out what went down in the weight room and all that with Jason Hayward. I was like, well, this is the exact thing the Cubs need right now because Cleveland had so much momentum.
Hayward gives the guys they're talking to.
Did you ever feel a longer 17-minute span than that? I mean, it really, it felt like 2 hours.
Well, I wanted them to finish the game. I wanted them to finish the game that night, that's for sure.
Well, I think everybody did.
We got 2 minutes left, guys. Okay. Play resumes in the top of the 10th. Kyle Schwarber leads off with a hit. Then Albert Almora pinch runs. Bryant hits a deep fly ball to center, and Almora tags up and goes to second. They walk Rizzo. Zobris comes to the plate. He's 0-for-4 in the game. He delivers an RBI double. We're up 7-6. We go up 8-6 later in that inning. And then Carl Edwards, give me a second. Carl Edwards was called on to finish off the Indians, and he walks Brandon Guyer. And then Raji Davis, is it Raji Davis?
Rajai Davis, I believe it is, yeah.
And now it's 8-7. Man.
Yeah. And then the ground ball to Bryant,
who starts smiling. I know.
He slips a little bit.
He's chuckling a little bit, like, I got this, I got this. I'm thinking, dude, I'm sure you got this. Just make the play and then celebrate.
Yeah.
It was the hardest of wins. It was fitting, right? After 108 years, it took everything they absolutely had. And I will say they were one of the most fundamentally sound teams. You think about that Almora pinch run and just the whole season defensively and pitching. They just did the little things right. But yeah, it was a fitting end to that 108-year drought where it took every single thing they had in them to finally get the win.
David Ross's homer, just everything mattered in that game. Everything mattered in that game, including some of Maddon's questionable decisions that turned out to be good ones. Okay, well, it's just 5 years ago today. I just thought it'd be fun to sort of recollect that remarkable game.
I pulled an all-nighter that night.
Yeah, no kidding.
It was like being back in college.
It was hard to enjoy. It was so nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Kevin. Good to hear you, buddy.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.